Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. On this Ascension Sunday, we begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Jesus, our risen, ascended, blessed Redeemer, we pray that you would be with us this day as we gather to hear your word. Grant us sincere repentance from all our sins and move us to live our lives in loving service to you and in joyous anticipation of your return. In your saving name, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We begin our service with our first hymn, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing. We'll sing the first four verses.
Thank you.
Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin this worship service on this Ascension Sunday in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Lord Jesus, King of glory, this day we celebrate Your ascension far above the heavens. At God's right hand, You rule the nations. As our intercessor, plead our cause before the throne of God when we come with our prayers and our petitions. Do not leave us alone, we pray, but grant us the Spirit of truth, that at Your command and by Your power, we may be Your witnesses in all the world. For You live, and You reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this Ascension Sunday is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. We read verses 16 through 23. These words from the Apostle Paul give us one of the reasons we can be joyful at Jesus' ascension. It means that He is now at God's right hand in the throne of heaven, ruling over all things for the church. That's for you and for me, for our good and for our eternal benefit. Paul writes by inspiration, "I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which He has called you, just how rich His glorious inheritance among the saints is, and just how surpassingly great is His power in us, His power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of His mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under His feet and made Him head over everything for the church. The church is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. "Sanctify us by Your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This is the Gospel of Luke's account of Jesus' ascension. We'll read Luke's account in the book of Acts for our sermon text for today. This is the end of Luke's Gospel. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He led them out as far as the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Up Through Endless Ranks of Angels. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
Christ of triumph.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the risen and ascended King, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Acts chapter 1. We'll read Luke's account from the book of Acts of Jesus' Ascension Day. He writes, "I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they were together with him, they asked, 'Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So did you see the Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights as they're known, over the past few nights? I did not see them in person, but I saw a number of great pictures, even from the Bay Area. There was some really fantastic shots by the Golden Gate Bridge area of those Northern Lights in all their splendor. Of course, I have friends and family in the Midwest, and I saw many of their photos, and our pastor in Canada had some really amazing shots, and he kind of made a joke. He said, the funny thing was the lights were actually brighter to the south than they were to the north, even though they're called the Northern Lights. I have, however, seen the Northern Lights before. Once when I was in college, they appeared one night, and some friends of mine and I went to the top of a high hill in the city where our college is, and we sat there for a good long time just watching the Northern Lights, talking about school, talking about life, and just talking about how unreal that scene was, how amazing these lights were. If you've seen them before, it is a sight you will never forget. I certainly will never forget the sight that night. Can you imagine the unreal scene the disciples saw that day as they looked up into the sky? I'll say with great certainty that this was an even more incredible sight than even the Northern Lights. Jesus, their risen Savior, their teacher, their friend, was now ascending into the sky, lifting up off the ground into the sky, higher and higher, until a cloud finally hides them from their sight. I always picture them as I'm reading through that text, standing there, looking up, probably mouths open, standing in amazement, watching Jesus as he departs from them, looking intently into the sky as he went away. Maybe some of them are trying to, you know, look to the side and get one more glimpse of him as he passes behind the cloud. And out of nowhere, two men dressed in white appear right next to this crowd of onlookers. We know these were angels sent from God. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Why are you standing here looking up into the sky? Are those angels serious? Of course they were standing there looking up into the sky. No one had ever seen anything like this before. Jesus had just lifted up off the ground and ascended up into the sky, of course they'd be standing there, staring in amazement. I think we probably would have done the same thing if we were there that day. But think of what else the apostles had seen and heard. Think of the words of verse 3 that we read from this first chapter of Acts, where Luke tells us, after Jesus had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. These men had heard Jesus' teachings. They had witnessed Jesus' miracles firsthand. They were eyewitnesses of so many events in Jesus' life, including the events of Holy Week. They saw Judas, one of their own, betray Jesus into the hands of his enemies. They watched their Lord, their friend, their Savior, get brutally beaten by the Roman soldiers and hung on that horrible cross. They viewed Jesus' death from the foot of that cross. They heard his cries from the cross with their own ears and heard him declare, "It is finished." Their hearts were burdened with sorrow as Jesus' body lay in the grave. And then they were filled with unimaginable joy when they saw Jesus again after he had risen from the dead. Now they just heard Jesus teaching them things about the kingdom of God. They saw him during those 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension. And in his last words, some of his last words to them before he ascends, Jesus tells them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus did not want them to just stay there, staring up, looking into the sky, looking where he had been. No. God sent these two angels to, so to speak, snap them out of their daydream, to remind them that God had work for them to do, and to remind them that Jesus would return again someday in the same way that they saw him leave. We may not have experienced these events of the Ascension Day with our own eyes or our own ears physically, like the apostles did. But with eyes and ears of faith, we have seen and heard the events of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and his ascension as they're recorded for us in the Bible. The Holy Spirit recorded these things for us so that we would believe them, and that by faith they would become as real for us as they were for those men who experienced them firsthand. We have watched the agony of Christ's suffering and death. Through the pages of Scripture, we have heard his cries from the cross as he completed the payment, the full payment, for our sins. We felt the sorrow of his burial, and we experienced the great joy of his resurrection on Easter, hearing that cry, "He is risen." Our ears have also heard him tell us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today we have even seen him ascend to the right hand of his Father in heaven to rule over all things. We've also heard the words of God's messengers, his angels, tell us that Jesus will return again in the same way that we have seen him go into heaven. We have witnessed these things that made the apostles look up into the sky, to look toward Jesus with amazement. But in the same way, Jesus does not want us just to stand here looking up in amazement. He wants us also to move forward. Do we always fully understand and apply to our lives what this message of Christ's ascension means to us? Do we realize its importance? Do we realize the confidence and the courage Jesus' ascension gives to us? Well, remember those incredible words that Paul wrote in our reading from earlier from Ephesians, that at Christ's ascension, God the Father seated him, Jesus, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus, the one who fills everything, the one who has all things under his feet, that text says Jesus is right now at God's right hand, ruling over all things for the church. That's us. For you and me, working all things out for our good, preparing a place for us in heaven. Knowing this, are we just going to keep standing here, staring into the sky, looking up intently into the heavens? Well, the apostles certainly didn't. And we can follow their example. We read those words from the end of the Gospel of Luke, those incredible words. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. And what was the disciples, the apostles' response to this? Luke says, so they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. They certainly did not stay there staring into the heavens. They praised God, they worshiped him, they returned with joy, and they spread the message of Jesus, the risen and ascended Savior. We know this especially from the book of Acts, the book that we've been going through in our Bible studies. These men spread this message of the crucified and risen Savior to thousands of people wherever they went. These men were witnesses of Christ, and they became witnesses for Christ. Through the Scriptures, the Bible, we too have been made witnesses of Christ. And Jesus calls us through that same word to be witnesses for Christ. Remember those words of Jesus just before he ascended, before he took his visible presence from us and ascended to heaven. He said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are here as a result of the disciples carrying out that commission. But those words also do apply to us. Jesus was telling them, in a sense, start close to home, in Jerusalem, where they were, and expand from there. Spread the gospel in ever-widening circles until it goes across the face of the whole earth. That's exactly what you and I can do. That's exactly where you and I can start, close to home, maybe even within our own home, in our own family, in our own neighborhoods, in our own cities. The point is to start. Through the words of Scripture, we look up and we see once again our ascended Savior, a sight that is more incredible and even more awe-inspiring than the Northern Lights. May his ascension to his heavenly throne inspire us and give us the confidence and courage to move forward and be his witnesses to the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. Our service continues with our choir song, In Christ Alone. Please rise. We bring special prayers to God's throne today, first for Mother's Day. It's not just Ascension Day, it's also Mother's Day, so we thank the Lord for the mothers and grandmothers he's put into our lives. We also pray for our brother in Christ, Chris Holt. He's having his second hip replacement surgery. It will be on Wednesday. He asks for prayers for his surgery and his recovery. And we offer continued prayers for Jerry Dimple, who is recovering in a rehabilitation center in Merced after his knee surgery. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God, we thank and praise you for opening the kingdom of heaven to us sinners and for calling us into that kingdom by giving us faith. Faith to trust in you as our Lord and our Savior. What joy is ours as members of your kingdom. Ruled by your mercy and no longer filled with fear, we are confident of our salvation. No longer ruled by Satan and sin, we are empowered by your love to do the good works which we have been created to do and are now called to do by you. Dear Jesus, in your word you tell us, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31:30. Eternal and almighty God, the source of life and in whom alone true fulfillment of life can be found, with humble hearts we come to you for your blessing. We thank you for the gracious gift of life which you've given to us, for a mother's arms to hold us, a mother's love to enfold us, and a mother's care and tenderness to provide for us. Especially we thank you for the greatest gift of all, your only begotten Son, born of a woman, through whom we have become your children. We praise you for all the godly women who have shared with others their faith. Fill them with an ever deeper sense of responsibility for their families that you've given them. Help them to train their children in the ways of Him who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Help them to be wise counselors and true companions. Make them patient and untiring in all their labors with you to raise Christ-like men and women for tomorrow's world. Today and every day, lead their families to show and express their deep love and appreciation for them. Fill them with the satisfaction of knowing that the work and calling you have given them as mothers is of priceless value, and encourage them as they serve their families and you. We make our prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord, who from the cross remembered and honored his own mother, and by his sacrifice redeemed all mankind. The arisen and ascended Savior, our heavenly physician, please be by the side of our brother Chris during his hip replacement surgery this coming Wednesday. Give skill to the surgeon and staff who are attending and give success to their procedure. If it is your will, give Chris a smooth and full recovery and bless his rehabilitation process that would be as pain-free as you see fit. In this time of difficulty and trial, be with him and his family and remind them all of your loving care and the fact that you are working all things out for Chris's good and for the good of all who love you. We entrust him, body and soul, into your loving, healing hand, dear Savior. We also pray that you'd be continually with our brother Jerry as he recovers in the rehabilitation center in Merced. Give healing to his knee and help him to be able to do his rehabilitation as quickly and as smoothly as possible. Be with him and comfort him in these difficult times, and be with his family as well who are praying for his full recovery. Help us, dear Jesus, to seek first your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, and to put your word, our faith, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of salvation first in our lives. Dear Jesus, we also pray that you will have your kingdom come to others by multiplying the preaching of your gospel to the whole world. Cause sinners everywhere to accept you and your forgiveness by faith. Help us to overcome our sinful flesh and make us ambassadors for your kingdom. Encourage us to support the cause of Christian missions generously with our gifts, and to remember all those who spread the word and teach your word and preach it daily in our prayers. Bless your kingdom workers wherever they labor, and grant them the joy of seeing the fruits of their labors. Give the word that is preached free course, that your elect may be drawn from the far corners of the world. Dear ascended Savior, hear our prayers and bestow upon us the help and relief that we require. Comfort us with the forgiveness and crown our lives with good. Help us against every temptation, and strengthen us in every trial until we receive the victor's crown of eternal life. Help our pastors to preach, our teachers to teach, and our people, young and old, to receive the word with joy. Hear us for the honor of your name as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with the hymn, "See the Lord Ascends in Triumph." I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and to all of our mothers and grandmothers who are here. A blessed Mother's Day to you, and I encourage all of us to give the appreciation and love to our mothers and grandmothers today as we are able. A few announcements from the bulletin. First, for today, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m. and Bible class to follow at 2. This week, Wednesday and Friday confirmation classes with Natalie at 4 p.m. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Bible class will be at 9 a.m., worship service 10 a.m., and then we will have choir practice to practice our confirmation Sunday piece next Sunday at 11 a.m. Please check your mailboxes if you have not yet done so. There is a daily rest devotional for this quarter for the end of May through September 1st. There are printed copies of the prospectus. I emailed it out yesterday. If you'd like a printed copy for yourself, there are a few more on the entryway table in one of the holders. There is a prospectus for the CLC convention for this summer detailing the work that will be done there, Lord willing, in June. VBS registration is open through our website. We've got our sign posted out front. The Branches magazine, the women's magazine that our church body produces, the subscriptions are due in June, and there's information in the bulletin about that as well. I encourage you this week to read through the World Missions prayer list to keep the people and events around the world in your prayers this week as well. Any other announcements for today? I don't recognize that hymn. I thought she's playing the walkout music. I'm like, that doesn't sound like that.
Is there something that happens after the service?
Yes.
We were told to meet in the fellowship hall after the service as well. I believe there are some things to eat in the fellowship hall. Thank you all for the expressions of care and for the happy birthdays to both me and Jules. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.